And welcome Pastor Dean as he comes and shares this morning.
All right. Here we go. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Easter, you know Easter isn't about church. I know you all came to church on Easter. Maybe there's some people in the room and you're like, oh, you only come to church on Easter or Christmas. Awesome. Still do it. But Easter is about Jesus. Cool. So I know where we're at now. I know the level. Hey, who was that? Who was it? Chuck Perry on Tuesday night? Just raise your hand up. Awesome. So good. We had some really good reports, and just one thing we want to do really well as a leadership here is steward the testimony really well. Because what happens in the house is if you keep talking about things and going after things, but then people don't see the fruit, it creates a powerless Christianity where people have the language for something, but then there's no anointing there. Does that make sense? So what we want to do here, just as the church, at the sanctuary, the culture we want, is that we're seeing healings, Thursday night we led a team out on the streets, 6 people were led to Jesus. Like, come on. So we give all, we thank God for that, and we want people to know that. That's not boast, that's boasting in the Lord. We want people to know that God is moving in His church. Amen. And so if you've received like a healing or a miracle in your body over the last like week, 2 weeks, whether it was Tuesday night or whatever, we would love you to come and speak to us because we want to carry the testimony well. And when you share your testimony, it gives God the glory. So when you withhold your testimony from people, you're robbing God of glory. So that's really important. Is there anyone in the room today who received a healing on Tuesday night, like a partial healing or... Yep, awesome. So we've got one over there. Come on. So we're going to get some testimonies. We'll carry that maybe into next Sunday, into one of our Jesus nights or like that. We do prayer regularly on a Thursday night. And so I just want to welcome Julie up. She just had a really... great words, great picture from God, and we wanted her to release that, and then we'll get into it. Welcome. Say hi to Julie, everyone.
Oh, happy Easter, everybody. A couple of weeks ago, I had an encounter. I was just chatting away with the Lord, and I was thinking and reminded of the songs we sing where we will throw our crowns down. Right, and automatically I went into this vision, and I saw these millions and millions of crowns, beautiful crowns with diamonds and jewels and textures, and they were really, really beautiful. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, which one's your favorite? And he popped out from the huge overflow of crowns, and he said, this is my favourite. And he was wearing the crown of thorns. And he said, that's how I got you. It's the pain he suffered. It's the death. It's the blood. It's the sacrifice. But it's also the healing. And he did it for you. And he did it for you. And he did it for you. And he, although he wears many crowns, as it says in Revelations, the crown of thorn is the hit.
Awesome, Julie. Hey, why don't you turn, go to your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. I apologize if throughout the message my voice might go into like a 15-year-old, 14-year-old Dean. Just laugh at me and then move on, all right? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death, I want you to listen to this. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, through his death. Do you know that Jesus destroyed sin, death, and the grave? That's why he went there. He went down into hell, he plundered the underworld, and he rose again in victory so that you could live in triumph over sin and death. It does not mean that you will not pass away one day to be with the Lord. It means he destroyed spiritual death. Many Christians in the world have a scientific, natural worldview. And the Bible calls us to have a spiritual worldview. Because all throughout the time of Jesus and all throughout the time of the apostolic age, they walked with a spiritual worldview, understanding that there is a very real devil in the world. There is very real sin. There is very real evil. And so God has created a people for himself who can rule and reign with him over the works of the enemy. Come on. And so our role in life is actually to bring a spiritual view to people's lives. My role in life, I'm an ambassador of Christ. That doesn't mean that I just carry a message. It means I carry a person. Come on. Christianity is not just a set of beliefs that you follow. It's not just a message. The gospel is a person and his name is Jesus. Come on. You didn't, when you got born again, when you came to the Lord, you didn't come to a message, you came to Jesus. And there's some people in the room and you need freedom in your life. You need victory here. You need God. I need you to show up here in my life. I need you to do this. And it's not the message that sets you free. It is the person, Jesus Christ, that sets you free by his Spirit. Come on. You can't separate the two. Amen? And so we carry this worldview of we live from the realm of the Spirit. I bring his world. We bring God's kingdom, his world, into our world. That means I get to live and think differently throughout my day. I get to bring his world into my world, into the lost, broken, evil, sickness, disease, sin, whatever people are battling with throughout my day, I get to bring his dominion into this world. This changes the whole game. Because no longer do I have to walk as a victim in life. No longer do you have to walk around thinking, well, this stuff has been done to me. I've got these issues in life. I've got this. I've got this. All of a sudden you realize that you carry a person with you, the God-man, Jesus, who rose again from the grave. There is no more power greater than someone who's destroyed death itself. Come on. And we get to carry him. That is such a privilege. I grew up my whole life believing a message but never encountering the person. And it's when you know that the message leads you to a person that all of a sudden it opens up the kingdom of God in your life so that you can live in victory, that you can rule and reign through him. Amen? I was talking to a group of young guys and you know, young people, they see through the B.S. Right, can I say that up the front? Is that all right? All right, good. All right, we're good. They see through it. Young people are hard to reach. They're not hard to reach at all. If you live an authentic life in the Lord, you will see young people's lives transformed. You will see them encounter the love of God that sets captives free, that heals hearts, that drags people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom realm of the Son whom he loves. Amen. And I was sharing with this young group, and there's this one guy, and I was talking to him, just sharing the gospel with him, sharing if anyone knows the three circles, it's a really good tool to share the gospel. And I was sharing it with him, and he's like, I believe that. Yep, that's me. Like, that's what I want in my life. And so I prayed with him. The next day, I saw him again, and he had a bad knee. And so I prayed. I said, oh, well, let's pray for that. You know, you can just bring your normal Christian life into people's normal, right? Sometimes we think that we have to bow to what we believe so that we'll look normal and protect our reputation in front of people. What if your normal actually confronted what people believe, but you carry a person, so that person then begins to invade their world and touch their life? Come on. And so I said, yeah, let's pray for that. And so I put my hand on his knee, prayed for his knee, really simple prayer. And young people don't lie. Like, I mean, there's some Word of Faith people in the room, and it's like, I feel like I'm healed. Yeah, I reckon I'm going to take that by faith. Amen. Awesome. Young people don't lie. You know if God's touched them or not, right? And so pray for his knee, and he gets up and he walks out of the room swearing because he can't believe that God's touched his knee, that God's healed his body, right? Why? Because it's not just a message, it's a person. You carry a person, and we constantly work on being aware on what the Spirit of God is doing in our life, because he's here right now. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord, thank you that you are here. In Leviticus, so good Easter message to preach from Leviticus. In Leviticus, it talks about the Old Testament is a shadow, right? And so we see the types and sacrifices and everything that was happening in the Old Covenant. It was a shadow of things to come. It was pointing to Jesus, right? And in Leviticus, you had the sacrifice of the two doves. And as they would kill one, they would sprinkle the blood on the leper. So a leper being a picture of sin in humanity, they would sprinkle the blood on the leper seven times to cleanse him. In Leviticus 16, it talks about when they sacrificed the bull for the high priest, they sprinkled the blood on the atonement cover seven times. Why? Because seven is the number of completion in the Bible. And so when Jesus comes on the earth, and he walks in his earthly ministry, and then in the leading up to the cross, many people don't realize, but he shed his blood in seven places to bring redemption and reconciliation to our lives, that God would say Jesus is the perfect sacrifice who has completed the work, and now you can be found complete in him. So Jesus didn't just die on a cross to save you from your sin so that you could go live in sin and be a victim the rest of your life. Jesus died on a cross to bring total, complete victory into your life. Amen? So there's seven places. I've chosen a good message to preach today because I had to go short. And I said, well, 7 points is short. Awesome. So we're all good. I don't need lunch till about 1 a.m. yeah, that's right. So I want to share. This is what I want to do. I really feel like God is just shifting gears in this house. I just know that in my heart. I know that we're going from a place of we're a beautiful Jesus community to a place where the Spirit of God is going to show up in power and absolutely wreck people's lives in a good way. And you don't need to protect your reputation when God rocks up. You don't need to, it's just receive from him. And so we're seeing a trickle of what the Lord's doing. But there is so much more to come. And I want to encourage people in the room today. that God is always wooing and pursuing your heart to take you to a deeper place of surrender. Because the Bible says that we find life when we give it away. And there's some people in the room and you're holding on to your life too much. And the Lord says, I'm a good father, you can trust in me. And there's people in the room and you've had abandonment issues from your own father, and so you struggle trusting in the Lord. And if that's you right now, God is going to hit you in a big way. He's going to baptize you in his love so that you'll be a father to many. Amen? That's hit someone. In Luke 22, verse 44, this is Jesus in the lead up to the cross. So I'm just going to go through these seven things, and then I'd love to pray for people at the end. I've got a few words, if there's any people here on the ministry team, leadership, if you get some prophetic words or any words throughout the message, get ready to come up and release them at the end. I'm aware of time. I know it's Easter. I know we've got family stuff on. So I'm aware. All right? We good? Not that it makes a difference. No, joking. Hey, look out. That's right. Luke 22, verse 44. He prayed more fervently. He was in such agony. So this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he's about to be crucified. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. So the first place that the Lord shed his blood was in a garden, and his sweat became drops of blood that hit the dust of the ground. God bled. The blood of God hit the dust of humanity to pull cursed humanity into his blessing. Did you get that? Jesus, the God-man, fully God, fully man, he bled so that the blood of God would touch the dust of the earth. Adam was formed out of the dust. And the blood of God touched the dust of the earth to redeem cursed humanity. When Adam and Eve, at the fall of man in the garden, the ground was cursed. That means that the dust of the ground, God said, it was cursed, it will not produce fruit in your life. And so you can look throughout the world and you can see everywhere where it is cursed. Everywhere where evil runs. Everywhere where the fallen imagination and mind of man rules and reigns. And God, he sweat blood, it hit the dust of the ground to redeem us from the curse of sin so that we could live in the blessing of the Lord. Come on. So in Galatians 3, it says Jesus, he hung upon a tree, he became a curse so that we could walk in righteousness, in his blessing. God is a good father. That means that I don't have to work for his blessing or his favor in my life. I'm blessed because I'm his son. And this is what Jesus first did in the Garden of Gethsemane. His blood hit the ground to tell humanity that I have redeemed you from the curse of sin. And anyone who enters into me, who puts their faith in me, you are eternally blessed. Do you know God has bound himself to you? The God of the heavens and the universe, who created the whole world, he has committed himself to your success in life. He has bound himself to you in a covenant that is not dependent upon you, but it is totally dependent upon his goodness. I mean, that should rock people's world right there. Just as a marriage covenant, which is probably the best today, in today's day and age, a marriage covenant's probably the best representation of a covenant that we have. Just as a husband and wife commit themselves to one another and they make oaths, so God has committed himself to you, but you didn't have to say anything. And Jesus, he signed the covenant for you. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is already in the blessing of the Lord. The sin, curse, has no power over your life anymore. The second place Jesus shed his blood. In Isaiah 50 verse 6, it says, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. The beard of Jesus, when he came to the cross and when he was being whipped and beaten, they plucked out his beard and they shamed him. They robed him, they gave him a staff, they started to mock and spit on him, right? And they pulled out his beard. And it was a picture of the Lord as he shed blood from his beard being pulled out. It was a picture of him taking up the shame of humanity. So whenever kings and nations would go to war, it was all based victory and defeat would then lead to shame or honor. And so whenever an army won and the king won, the king would be held in great honor and they would do a victory parade through the streets because you are honored. If you were the king who lost the battle, you would be in shame. And that's why they would do things like cut off the thumbs of the kings who were defeated so that they could never hold a sword again. They would shame them, they would spit on them. And so when the Bible talks about Jesus taking our shame upon himself as he shed his blood, he shed it so that no longer would you live in shame, but that you could live in honor. You have a place at the table of God. Every single person in this room, you have a place at the table of God. He has redeemed you from a place of shame and taken you into a place of honor in life. So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that we are now a kingdom and a nation of priests. The Lord has pulled us up out of the dust and we now get to sit with him at the table in honor. Not only are we at the table, the Bible says that we are seated with Christ in God in heavenly places. Some people in the room today, you need to get a bigger and better view of your life, and the Lord is bringing you an upgrade in this house because you've been seeing yourself as small and lowly and pathetic. There's been self-hatred upon your life. There's been shame upon your life, and God wants to strip you free from that today because he purchased your redemption at the cross. He's brought you into a place of honor. Come on. See, when I said before, when we prayed, Lord, thank you that you are here, I did that because I want you to know that he's in the room. I did that because I'm not just speaking a message today, but when I share that, the Spirit of God is in the room today and he's touching people's lives. The third place, I'm making really good time. I'm quite proud of myself, to be honest. Come on. Oh, yes, God. Matthew 27, verse 29. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. That's fine. I'm just going to read this out. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spat on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to crucify him. The Lord wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and as they placed the thorns upon his head on the cross, as he was leading him, as they're about to lead him to the cross, they put this crown of thorns upon his head, and blood began to spill out of the wounds that the crown pierced his head with. Did I say that right? Got it. Good. And the blood flowed, and as the blood flowed, it purchased our redeemed mind from the cursed mind of man. The blood of Jesus flowed from his head with wearing a crown of thorns, and his blood redeemed us, he redeemed our mind from the cursed mind of man. So your inheritance in God today is that you now have access to and you get to carry the mind of Christ. this will totally go over a lot of people's heads because it is so amazing, but you actually have access to the mind and the thoughts of God. You can actually think like God thinks because His blood purchased your ability to think like Him. So that means when problems come along in my life, I can react differently. When there are issues in the world, I can carry God's heart and God's mind towards the issue. When sickness tries to come against you, or when issues happen in your family, this is really practical. Throughout your daily life, the Lord wants to teach you to think like Him, because your inheritance is that you would carry His mind upon the earth and release what He's doing and say what He's saying. In other words, you can totally carry peace all the time, because His peace guards your mind in Christ Jesus. Meaning that when problems come, you don't have to live in fear about it. Meaning there's people in the room and you've had issues going on in your life for a long time, and you're at the point in your life where you're like, well, it's never going to change. That is not the mind of God. That is the mind of man. God thinks differently. God always thinks with hope. God always releases redemptive solutions. God always has a wise strategy. God always thinks by faith. And so faith will always, the redeemed mind of man means I have access to the faith of God whenever I need it. And as I begin to walk in that, faith will think differently. God gives me permission to think about, God gives me permission to live in faith. And faith means that I can invade the realms of impossibility because God's given me authority to walk there. All right. Are people getting this in the room? You don't have to live in depression today. Your life can shift because you have an inheritance which is called the mind of Christ. I'm not downgrading any of that stuff. I'm not, you know, if you're on medication for that, if you need that, cool. But all I'm saying is your inheritance as a son or daughter is that you get to carry the mind of Christ. You have a redemptive solution to every area of your life. And now my job is not to think according to the problem, but my job is to think according to the promises of God and release them into my world. Come on. And so David, he faces in 1 Samuel 17, a whole nation is paralyzed by one man. A whole nation is intimidated and paralyzed by one man called Goliath. And they can't move. They can't do anything. The king Saul, who was a mighty man in God at the time, he was totally paralyzed. So you know that you are living not according to God's thoughts when you are fearful in life, when things come along and the first thing you do is worry. God wants to redeem that in your mind. He wants to trade your thoughts for His thoughts. And when David kills Goliath, how did he kill Goliath? Two things, right? He hit his head with a stone. Did the stone kill him, or did the sword cutting off his head kill him? I would say that the stone killed him. So then why does David cut off the head of Goliath? He cuts off the head of Goliath as a prophetic declaration that the mind of the enemy, the mind of man, will never rule and reign over the mind of God. Come on. And where does he take the head of Goliath? He takes it to Jerusalem and he buries it at Golgotha. That's why it was called Golgotha, right? Where did Jesus wear a crown of thorns on the cross? At Golgotha. Why did he do that? He did that because God was working prophetically to show man that I'm bleeding from my head so that your mind will be redeemed. Come on. So I carry towards life incredible hope, incredible faith. In any situation, I know the Lord's going to rock up and do something. Come on. All right. Matthew 27. So Pilate released Barabbas. So Jesus, this is when Jesus is in the trial and they release Barabbas. And he ordered Jesus flogged with a lead-tipped whip. Then he turned, so this is your American standard, yours might say differently, but the whip that Jesus was whipped with, many people believe, well, it was lead tip, that there was a bone in there, sharpened bone, that they would wrap rope around that sharpened bone, and then there was, I can't remember, it was like stones, sharpened stones in it, and then they would whip the person, and so you could imagine getting whipped with that thing, how it tore apart the flesh. And he turned, and so Jesus, they flogged Jesus with a lead-tipped whip, then turned him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified. The blood of Jesus provided for our physical healing. The blood of Jesus provided, his body was broken open and he bled for his back so that it would purchase your physical healing today. Just as the redemption of sin is in the atonement of the cross, so is the redemption of sickness in the atonement of the cross. And so we live out of the reality that healing, my physical healing, God has purchased that. And that is why we pray for the sick, because it was his idea. Do you get that today? That's not an idea that comes from the church to pray for people who are unwell. Your physical well-being is God's idea. No one wants to be sick because God has placed that desire in you to not want to be sick. Come on. And so I'm not downgrading any of what people go through. I've got a husky voice at the moment. Beck loves it because I sound amazing. But the Lord provided for our healing at the cross. He bled. He was whipped and beaten and bruised. His blood, his flesh was torn apart. Blood came out so that he was declaring, he was thinking of you, declaring, I'm providing for your physical well-being in life. I want you to be healthy and whole. And we are not sick people trying to get well. If you have a sickness today, that is not a part of your identity. You are not a sick person trying to get well. You are a well person fighting off sickness in your life. Sickness is not a part of your identity today. It is, and as Chuck Parry said, it is an injustice against the love of God. And so God provided for your healing so that you could stand in faith on who he is, and we could be a community where we see the devil's work driven out in people's lives. Because where did sickness come through? It came through the fall of man. There was no sickness in the garden. There's no sickness in heaven. It came through the fall of man, through sin and the devil. I'm not saying that if anyone has illnesses, anything like that, I'm not saying you're in sin at all. All I'm saying is sickness was not God's idea for your life. It just wasn't. He's a good father. And so it says in Matthew chapter 8 that all the sick came to Jesus and he drove out, so the sick and demonized come to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, he healed the sick, and this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, that he took up our infirmities and he bore our diseases. Come on. That was fulfilled through the cross of Christ. Amen? And so we walk today as new creations in Christ Jesus. Sickness, disease, illness should never be. It is not a part of your identity in God. It is a foreign thing coming against your body, just as sin is. Amen? I just want to share this. And we're almost done, by the way. I know I'm only at point four, but we are almost done, I promise. And there was this lady came up to me, this would have been a couple of years ago, and she, through childbirth, she had an issue out of childbirth with her first kid, and there was an issue with her kidneys. So the doctors said to her, you will be on this medication for the rest of your life. I believe it was, if there's a nurse or doctor in the room, you'll get it. But there was really high protein levels in the kidneys that were causing issues for her, so she had to be on medication. Doctors said, most people are on this for the rest of their life. So that's it. And so she came to us, we prayed with her, and it would have been 4 weeks later, she texted me, she said she went back to the doctors, and the doctors said, for some reason, you don't need to be on the medication anymore because your kidneys are better. Come on. this woman, there are people in the room and you've been given diagnoses where you're like, you have to deal with this for the rest of your life. That is not a part of your identity. That is not God's idea. He wants you to be whole and well. And our job is to co-labor with Him to occupy His promise in our life and to see it come into manifestation. So that's why I always walk in great hope and great faith, because I know that our identity is in Christ, and as He is, so are we in this world. Amen? Psalm 22 verse 16. For dogs have encompassed me. This is talking about Jesus, how they, all the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees, they all came against Him. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Did you get that? They pierced the hands and feet of Jesus. What do hands and feet speak of? Hands and feet speak of our authority upon the earth. You can't... Well, we are His hands and feet. Romans 12 says that we're the body of Christ. You can't go anywhere if you don't have feet, and you can't do much work if you don't have hands, right? Our hands and feet are a picture of authority upon the earth. And Jesus, His hands were nailed firstly, and then His feet were nailed. He bled from those points because He was saying that I'm redeeming your authority to walk over the works of the devil in the world. In other words, up until the whole time of Jesus, from the fall of man up until Jesus, it was an authority issue. That's why when the Lord comes to people, that's why people would always wait on God to do something. They would always wait on Him if they needed a miracle, if they needed something in their life. They wouldn't just pray for it, they would wait for it because they weren't sure what the will of God was, right? Because the devil had authority over man. And when Jesus came, He bled from His hands and feet. He redeemed us. He redeemed our authority over the devil so that we could walk in victory. We could know what the will of God is, and then we could release it upon the earth. Come on. Are we getting that today? That you don't have to second guess the will of God for your life. You don't have to second guess what Jesus has done on the cross for you. It was a big tick to say that you can pray for a miracle there. You can walk in love there. You can live in forgiveness here. You don't have to live as a double-minded person today, because God's given you permission to live in His Son. Amen? So we are the hands and feet of God. I say to people all the time, there's things God will never get done upon the earth unless He does it through you. And that can sound really foreign to some people because they talk about the sovereignty of God and, well, if God wants something done, He'll get it done. But that's just not true. That's not biblical. Because if it was biblical, every single person on the earth would be saved, healed, delivered, set free. It's true. It's the will of God that all men come to salvation, that none repent. It's the will of God that sickness, that disease, that the will of God that the curse, that evil throughout the earth, that everything wrong that's going on will be flooded and washed away. And so He created a people for Himself who could walk with Him and carry Him as the person to release His will in all that we do. There's things in your life that God is just waiting for you to co-labor with Him. And God will wait and He'll keep knocking on your heart. He'll keep wooing you and pursuing you and awakening you to your reality in Christ Jesus so that you can begin to walk with Him in your world. He wants to co-labor with you, amen? And He's given you authority to do that. Too many people see themselves as servants. Too many people see themselves as separate from God in their life. And God sees you, that's why He created and birthed sons and daughters. Because sons and daughters are a part of the family business. Amen? Last one, you ready? And then we're just going to pray and we'll do some ministry time. John 19, verse 34. One of the soldiers, so Jesus comes to the cross. He's shed His blood. He's been pierced. You know, at the cross, most people would die from suffocation because they wouldn't be able to hold themselves up. They would be pierced hands and feet, and they would die by suffocation. Thank you. And I was reading, and this is really fascinating. Do you know that I've been reading a lot of church history lately? Do you know that the biggest debate over like doctrine and theology was if someone was about to die for Jesus? So who knows that through the Roman and the persecutions of the Romans upon the Christians and throughout that world, many Christians were crucified, killed, martyred, heads cut off. Sorry to put a dampener on the message. But that's just where, that's the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And do you know, the key like doctrinal thing was not, is this for today, or is God good or not, or, you know, how much grace is too much grace. The key thing, you know, the key thing was, if you denied Jesus because they were about to kill you, would you be able to be redeemed? That was the key thing that the church leaders were debating over, because people were getting tortured because they wanted them to deny Jesus. And they're getting tortured, and then some people would say they'd be in so much pain, they'd deny Jesus. And then the church leaders will say, well, should we welcome them back into the community because they've done that, right? And we worry today over these little key little things. We argue over it. And it's like the Lord saying, how about you stop arguing, and how about you just advance my kingdom? Come on. Like, seriously. And so, I shouldn't have gone there. Anyway, the blood of Jesus birthed his beloved bride through the power of the Holy Spirit. At the cross, Jesus was pierced in his side. He was pierced with a lance in the side. And out of his heart flowed blood and water, which is a picture of the rebirth of the Holy Spirit. So remember, I said at the start, we live with a spiritual worldview. In other words, you are a spiritual being, whether you like it or not. That is why Christ lives in you, because he's redeemed you. He's made you brand new in your spirit, man. You've been washed clean by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, he birthed his beloved bride at the cross. So just as Eve was taken out of the side of Adam, so Jesus wanted a bride for himself, and so he allowed his side to be pierced. He was bled out of his heart so that he could birth sons and daughters, his beloved bride, upon the earth. Amen. Thomas the Apostle, they called him Doubting Thomas. And Jesus appears in the room, and Jesus says to Thomas, put your hands, so this is the resurrected Jesus, he says, put your hands on my, where the nails went through, put your hand in my side. Doubting Thomas was the only apostle who placed his hand into the side of Jesus where the bride of Christ was birthed. And do you know, he went further than every other apostle. He went all the way to India and birthed the church in India. The people over there, they will honor St. Thomas today. You'll see it all around India, St. Thomas, because he is the apostle that birthed the church there, because the Lord took one man out of a place of doubting into a place of faith. All because he put his hand into the side of Jesus. And so there is power in the blood of Jesus today. And the Lord wants to show you that by his Spirit, we are rebirthed. And Ephesians 1 says that the Holy Spirit places a seal upon your heart. That means that the Holy Spirit is here today to apply everything what the Lord has won for you. He's here today to apply that in your life. He lives and dwells. He makes his residence in you so that the power of the blood of Jesus will come forth in your life and become a reality in your life. So I want to spend 2 minutes. I want to give some words. If you want to stand up, that would be awesome. We're going to finish. I realize that we got places to go, people to see. But I wanted to pray for a few people today. If you do have to leave, go for it. If you don't have to, I encourage you to stay, because I believe God's going to touch people's lives today. There's people in the room, and everything I was sharing on, it was like, oh, like that. There were, you know, you preach a message, but it's the Holy Spirit here who brings it alive in people. And there were people in the room, and as I was sharing, there were just specific points where you're like, that was for me. And if that was you, I'd love you to come up the front when we finish. I'd love to pray with you. But Lord, we thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Jesus, that you destroyed sin, death, and the grave. I thank you that your authority is in the room today. I thank you that you are the Savior of the world, that you are here to save, that a part of your nature is that you are a Savior. You save people. That is who you are, Lord. And so I pray today that truth would pierce our hearts, Father, that we would be people who walk with the Savior really well. That when we see injustice, that when we see, when we have problems, when we see things, God, that we would walk with the Savior and release your redemptive solutions into our life, Father. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, would you give us a greater view of Jesus? Would you show us the one who was lifted up, and the one who, as he was lifted up, he drew all men unto himself, all men and women, that he is the banner of salvation to the nations, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you plundered, you went to the grave, you plundered the underworld, you preached victory to every demon, every devil, and you rose again in victory so that you could birth a bride who would shine you gloriously in our lives. I had a few words. Just stay in this place, but a word of knowledge is just the Lord showing us something, because it is to create faith that God wants to touch your life. And so when I share this, if this is you in the room, I actually want you to put your hand up, right? Because what it's doing is this: God's saying, hey, there's this problem and I actually want to fix it. I actually want to touch that person, right? And so that's what a word of knowledge is. And so I want to share a few of them, and then we'll close. But there's someone, and you've got damage in the cartilage in your knees. So that could be multiple people in the room. But if that is you, I want you to put your hand up really quickly. Someone with damage in the cartilage in your knees. So this is where we are the body. So if you see someone with their hand up, I want you to go over to them. I want you to put your hand on them, and I want you to command healing to come into their body. I want you to command the cartilage to be healthy and whole. Just bless it, release what God's doing. So come on. This is, see, as soon as you ask people to do something, everyone freaks out. So keep your hand up really high. If there's cartilage in the knee that's damaged, just put your hand up really high for me. Really high. Yep, so everyone can see. So I want everyone who's got their hand up to have someone praying for them. Just bless what God is doing. Father, we thank you for healing in the knees. We thank you for knees being made whole. And what I want you to do is I want you to test out your knees or knee, whatever it is. If there was pain before, I believe that pain would have left. So cartilage in the knee, damage there. Pray, do a quick prayer, doesn't have to be long, and then get them to test out their knee. I need people to test it out, all right? Someone in the room, good. If you can keep praying, pray two or three times if you need to. Someone in the room, you have an injury from a car accident. So you're involved in a car accident, whether it was 20 years ago, whether it was 2 weeks ago, and you've sustained an injury from that. If that's you, put your hand up. I could be, I thought I heard the Lord on that. Yep. So at the back there, can I get someone just, yep, with Fur there. Just ask what the problem is. Just tell them what the problem is and then just pray into that quickly. And if you can test it out, please do that. There's someone, I feel like I just heard this one partially, but there's someone with a problem, it's with the sternum. So in your rib cage, but it's with the sternum. I don't know whether that was a bone thing or something else, but if that's you, put your hand up and we'll have someone pray with you. The sternum. Yep, so we got one here and there's a person, yep, at the back there. Can I get maybe a Lisa or a Dave to go at the back? Keep your hand up with the sternum. Yep. Go pray for that. There's someone else. You had a doctor's report in the last 2 weeks. So there's a time frame to this one. You had a doctor's report. You've been diagnosed with something that's just not helpful for your body in the last 2 weeks. If that's anyone in the room, I just want you to put your hand up on that one. Is that someone? Yep. Go pray. Just ask what it is and then just release what the Lord's doing. If it's a private thing, then don't share it. Just bless what God's doing. So keep praying. Hey, if you're not praying for someone, just if you pray in the Spirit, do that. That would be awesome. There's someone else in the room. And this is just a broad one, but it's Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. There's someone with a chronic disease and you've been contending for your healing for a while. And I'd love you to come up the front and we can get some guys to pray for you, some guys or girls to pray for you at the front. If that's you and you've just been battling a chronic disease for a while, come up the front to get prayer. Hey, let's just keep, there's people ministering around the room, there's people praying for people, test it out. If you receive a healing or a breakthrough or the Lord's doing something, feel free to come up the front. We'd love to hear about it and share it. We're about to close, but lastly, if there is anyone here and you've actually never invited Jesus into your life, you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never said, actually, I want Jesus.